All right, welcome everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. I am Dr. Mary Craig, and today we're going to have a Christmas message from the Lord, and I have titled this, Such is My Love for You. This is a live teleservice, December 20, 2020. But before we get into this message, and I'll tell you more about, you know, the circumstance around it, we want to pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you, O God, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, that he was sent by the Father on a mission with a message. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that as Jesus is the surety of the covenant of grace. And so, Lord God, we thank you that Jesus fulfilled what the Father asked him to do in a perfect, personal, perpetual obedience, a radical obedience. And we thank you, Lord, that out of that he lived a life of perfect righteousness, and he died the death as the death penalty our sins deserve. And he rose again from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Almighty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and coming again. First the kingdom comes in grace, and then the kingdom comes in power and great glory. And so, Lord God, we come on bended knee with our heads bowed in humility before you. We pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man, which was created according to God in you in true righteousness and holiness. That you, Lord God, would sanctify us by your word and by your spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion and grace, that we might love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, O God, we ask now that you, for the Holy Spirit to come and that you would open the eyes of our minds to comprehend and open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Come, Holy Spirit, as a spirit of wisdom and revelation to reveal Jesus Christ to us. And, Lord, stabilize us. I ask you, Lord, today to stabilize us so that we are not easily shaken, that we have a foundation for our faith, which is called the faith, and we can trust you, Lord God, and though everything around us might shake, we will not be shaken. And we give you the praise and the glory, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So before I get into this message that I received from the Holy Spirit, I didn't really realize it was really more of a message than a prophetic word until it was finished and I read through it. And I decided to give it as a message today. And it's, you know, as a Christmas message. But in this, in the beginning, there is a phrase, there is a part that says, these are the hollow men, the stuffed men. So before I give this message, I want to just say what that refers to. The hollow men, some of you may know this. I know we had to study it in high school, actually. The Hollow Men by T.S. Eliot. And it's kind of a long poem. So in the written version of this message, I have a link to the whole poem. T.S. Eliot was born on September 26, 1888, in St. Louis, Missouri. He was child number 7, and His mother was active in social reform. His father was a brick manufacturer. And the family itself had emigrated from England to Massachusetts in the 17th century. So, let's see. His grandfather became a Unitarian minister, but there was a New England connection along the way, and whatever. You can read about his life. I'm sorry, the thing that I have here as a reference has the poem. They didn't say when T.S. Eliot died, but it would have most likely be in the beginning of the 1900s. All right, so I'm going to read just section number one of The Hollow Men. And here we go. Mr. Kurtz, he dead, a penny for the old guy. We are the hollow men. We are the dust men, leaning together, headpiece filled with straw. Alas, our dried voices, when we whisper together, are quiet and meaningless as wind in dry grass or rat's feet over broken glass in our dry cellar. Shape without form, shade without color, paralyzed force, gesture without motion. Those who have crossed with direct eyes to death's other kingdom remember us, if at all, not as lost violent souls, but only as the hollow men, the stuffed men. T.S. Eliot, The Hollow Men. And you can look it up. I'll have a link to that. And then I hope you will. And you might spend some time. This is when I look at this, this is not to say that God is, you know, endorsing T.S. Eliot's poem or all like that. Please don't read into this. He's just using it as a description. Okay. That's all that's happening. And so you can read it, but don't read it like it's scripture. It's just a reference. You'll see. Okay, so now, because I was sitting in the room, and this is what happens. I always say my little antenna are always up to hear the Holy Spirit, and I never know when this is going to happen or what. But I think it was about 10 days ago, actually, or a week ago. I believe I received this from the Holy Spirit. So here we go. The world lies in darkness. People are told to imagine as they sit locked down, suppressed to the point of suffocation, stretched to the edge of insanity. Many are losing hope, for their gods are not saving them. They walk in circles of confusion, bombarded with ads, which sparkle and sport promises of satisfaction, some relief from emptiness. These are the hollow men, the dust men of T.S. Eliot. I am bringing nations to their knees. Hosea 2. And now I'm going to read to you Hosea 2, the Lord's love for his unfaithful people. Say to your brethren, my people, and to your sisters, mercy is shown. Bring charges against your mother. Bring charges, for she is not my wife, nor am I her husband. Let her put away her harlotries from her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and expose her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. I will not have mercy on her children, for they are the children of harlotry, for their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has behaved shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in, so that she cannot find her path. She will chase her lovers but not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them but not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better for me than now. For she did not know that I gave her grain, new wine, and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore I will return and take away my grain in its time, and my new wine in its season, and I will take back my wool and my linen, given to cover her nakedness. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall deliver her from my hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbath, all her appointed feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, of which she has said, these are my wages that my lovers have given me. So I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. I will punish her for the days of the Baal to which she burned incense. She decked herself with her earrings and jewelry and went after her lovers. But me she forgot, says the Lord, the covenant Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I will give her her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says the covenant Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. I will betroth you to me forever, yes. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, and with oil. They shall answer Jezreel. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. Hosea chapter 2. When will mine set aside their baubles and cease baking cakes to the Queen of Heaven? And the reference there is Jeremiah chapter 7. When will they cease turning to idols and no gods? Repent and turn to me. Am I not Ishi? Now on the side here, there's two meanings for the word Ishi. One is husband, the other is salvation. Am I not the Lord, your maker? Am I not creator, redeemer? In the darkness, a light shines, it is bright, bold, declaring in the heavens my glory. After years of silence, a voice, a star, prophecies starting to be fulfilled. My gift to you, a son is born this day in the city of David. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, in order to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. He will be great. His name means Savior. He is Messiah, Lord, a King who reigns forever. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Malachi 1, verse 11. Then the angel, Gabriel, said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Luke 1, verses 30 to 33. This child of the Holy Spirit is the incarnate Christ, the Anointed One. Hope I give you, a peace that passes all understanding. Why, you ask? He will be despised, rejected by men, marred more than any man. He will be bruised, bleeding, mocked, scourged. Isaiah 53, yes. And he will die. Such is my love for you. He is life. His death I accepted. He is my beloved. It was necessary that he drink the cup that I, his father, gave him. He glorified me and glorifies me. He took your place. Such is my love for you. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I demonstrated my love for you. Romans chapter 5, and here is verse 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. And that is Romans 5, verses 1 to 11. And now from 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. 1 John 4:7 to 11. Such is my love for you. I grant you forgiveness whenever you confess your sins and cleanse you of unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Why? That I might be your God, your heavenly Father, your Maker, and that you might live in Christ, be in my presence, know me, come near to me. I am holy. I, the Lord, the covenant Lord, change not. I conform you to the image of my Son. I empower you by giving you the Holy Spirit in you, on you, with you, working through you. I am a consuming fire. The wind of the Spirit blows. The day approaches. Men's hearts will fail them for fear. Many will die. But you, my precious one, come. Find comfort in my love, in my gift to you of the Holy Spirit, of Christ in you, of my presence, of all that I am. I ask you to draw deep from the wells of salvation. Come to the living waters and drink. Come and buy without money. Come, though there be no middle ground, only holy ground. The world may hate you and say all manner of evil against you, but I am with you. When you have me and I am with you, it is enough. Amen. And now let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this, Lord, and we are reminded also in Romans, behold the goodness and the severity of the Lord. And God, we just thank you, Lord, that before the foundation of the world, before anything was created, Lord, you had us in mind and you chose us. You chose us. We don't know why. Certainly, we are not perfect and we are not consistently obedient and personally. And so, we can't earn eternal life and we don't deserve it. But we thank you, Lord, that because the Holy Spirit regenerated us and regenerates us and renews us, that we have life. The Holy Spirit is the life maker. We thank you, God, today for the gifts that you give us, the gifts that no one else can give us. It doesn't come through other people, not sufficiently, not enough. But Lord, we thank you that the giving of yourself, the giving of your Son, the giving of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we have enough. And God, I pray for everyone that listens to this message, that they will be encouraged, that you would fill them with comfort and with hope and with confidence in you, the living God. You will prevail. You, Jesus Christ, is overcome. And we thank you for the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. We thank you today, Lord. We give you the praise. And we look forward to when Jesus Christ will shine forth, shoot down his enemies, and strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. And now if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.